Welcome everybody. Dobrodošli. Svi ste pozdravljeni. Sunny Sunday. And summer time. 1 hour lost. We are in between two great festivals. One is Gor Purnima, which was a couple of weeks ago, appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have been reading a lot from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the other is coming soon, in 10 days approximately, is Ram Navami, appearance of Lord Ram. So this is a very famous and important festival. Everybody celebrates Gaur Purnima in India, regardless of their background. It's the spring festival. So everybody throws colors. And it's a festival of love. It's a very interesting day. In the morning, if you are in India on that day, don't put on your best, most expensive clothes unless you want to throw them away because they cover you completely with different colors. In the evening, you can see that people change into fresh clothes, new clothes, but on their faces, sometimes for another week, you can still see all colors of rainbow faces, hands, and everything. Lord Ramachandra's appearance day is not so dramatic, although it's based on a very dramatic story. Ram Navami is appearance of Lord Ram. In India, oftentimes, normal greeting is not good afternoon or hello. Very often, and a traditional greeting in India is Ram Ram. So they see each other and say Ram Ram in many different parts, which are names of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram. So he appeared several millions of years ago on this earth, and there is about 60 famous emperors mentioned between Lord Ramachandra and appearance of Lord Buddha. And there are so many books, so many verses, so much poetry about Lord Ram that it's very difficult to compare to any other story. And it's extremely popular. Even though there are many sad moments in this story, it is extremely popular throughout the ages, throughout many different places. You can see from Angkor Wat in Cambodia to all parts of India, Indonesia. You have many places where the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are depicted. In other cultures, there are some reflections of these pastimes. In Lord Chaitanya's appearance, one of his very close associates, Murari Gupta, was a great Ram Bhakta, devotee of Lord Ram. So there is one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I thought it would be a good connection between Chaitanya Lila and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Ram Lila. Recently I read about six lessons from Ram Lila that can be used by a modern manager. So, as Anuttama Prabhu says, that everybody is a manager. Everybody manages something. At least the food on one's plate you have to manage, or your day, or different things you need to manage. Anyway, I thought these are interesting points that are mentioned there. So I will read this famous and beautiful verse from Ramayana, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22:34. Sakri deva prapanno yastava smiti chayachate abhayam sarvadata smai dadam yetad vratam mama. These are words of Lord Ram. Lord Ramachandra says this himself. He says, "It is my vow." So he's taking a vow. And he's very famous for being very truthful, always keeping his word. So it is my vow that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, "My dear Lord, from this day I am yours," and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So if one time you say, "I'm yours," to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Lord Ram says that if one time you say enough, then he says, I promise, it's my promise, I will give you protection forever. Even if you say once, one time you surrender to the Lord, which is, I think, is a very good deal. And it was very kind from Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra. So this demonstrates the spirit of Lord Ramachandra. Abhayam, he removes fear. He always tries to remove fear. So you can see, he is the most beloved king in the history of India, probably. One of the most beloved kings in the history of India. Because he was always protecting and giving courage or fearlessness to everybody around him. And his most famous opponent is who? Ravana, yes? Ravana. So Ravana, a great demon, very powerful demon, who stole his wife. He stole his wife, and he was very powerful, knowledgeable, famous. And you can see how he ruled. When his own brother, Vibhishana, said to Ravana that this is not proper, you should give back Sita to Ramachandra. This was the same thing that all of his ministers were telling him, sages were telling him, and his wife, of course, his wife was telling him this same thing. So what did Ravana do? Ravana tried to intimidate everybody, to make everybody afraid. So Vibhishana, he just kicked out of his kingdom. And he was trying to scare everybody in his kingdom to fight for him. So you can see that his rule was based on fear. His rule, Ravana's rule was based on fear. If somebody disagreed with Ravana's plans to enjoy something, then he was using fear to either kick people out or manipulate them. He kicked his brother Kumbhakarna to wake him up to fight for him. He was scaring Maricha, another demon, to to help him steal Sita. So Maricha didn't want to go and help Ravana. So then Ravana said, okay, then I will kill you. So then Maricha said, okay, I will do what you want. So then he said, oh, you have decided to be my friend. He said, no. It's just that I see a choice, that either I die now from your hand or I die killed by Lord Ram. So if I die killed by Lord Ram, I get some great benefit, because Lord Ram is a very special personality. If I die from your head or from your hand, then I will go to hell. I will killed by such a rascal like you is not a good death. So better I die from the hand of Lord Ram. So this is the first thing, that Lord Ramachandra, he removes fear. His mode of action is to remove fear, whereas demoniac rule or demoniac so-called leadership is based very often on fear, on creating fear. And this is often mentioned. Krishna says also in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that there is no greater charity, no greater gift you can give to somebody, no greater blessing than to help somebody become fearless, get rid of fear. So this is the best charity you can give. It's more valuable than a big mountain of gold. Because if you have a big mountain of gold, are you safe? So fearlessness or safety, shelter is more valuable. So this is why also Mahabharata says that if somebody becomes a vegetarian, somebody says, okay, Hare Krishna, from today I will be a vegetarian. Then billions and billions of living entities all over the world give him blessings. All the cows, all the pigs, all the fish, they say, oh, so nice, we have nothing to be afraid of from this person. Blessings, blessings, prosper and be happy. Mahabharata says so, that they are rejoicing. The whole world is happy and they give you blessings if you become a vegetarian. So this is a very great gift, very great present. And of course, you can get full fearlessness only if you realize that you are spirit, that you are a spiritual soul, that this body is just temporary clothes. So we put it on, it lives for some time, then it... But... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Don't get afraid. Nothing can happen to us, the soul. The soul, Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be cut by swords, cannot be burned by fire, cannot be drowned by water, cannot be dried by wind. Nothing can destroy you. So, this is famous Srila Prabhupada's motto: you are not this body, your body, the body. You're not the body. You're not your body. So, even understanding this is a great relief. Just understanding we are not our body. This is a great... Of course, understanding it, it's a not a cheap thing. Pranachandra Maharaj says that one time he was giving a... there was some Sunday feast class, and he said that, yeah, you're not your body, you're not your body. And I think in Los Angeles he was. And then he said that at the end of the class, somebody raised the hand, and he said, "I'm not clear. I do not understand. You're saying I'm not my body. I'm not my body. So if I'm not my body, whose body am I?" So we are not only not our body, we are not body at all. Body is just, we are the soul. We are the soul. Also, we are not the situation. Whatever situation is there, this is also not who we are. Situations come and go, things change. This is all temporary. We are, Gita says, we are like the wind, which blows over different places. Sometimes it blows over a nice garden, and then nice smell, aroma is carried with this wind. Sometimes it blows over a garbage pile, and not a nice aroma is carried by this wind. But we are not this aroma. So we want to become fully permeated, fully absorbed in by Krishna consciousness, absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then we can become free from all fear, fearlessness. Fearlessness, this is one of the first rewards of Krishna consciousness, when we understand our true nature. So this is the first management lesson from Lord Ramachandra. Remove fear. Help people outgrow fear. Be greater than fear. If fear comes, it should be just like an impetus to move higher, move forward, to understand things deeper. Even if some very unpleasant situation happens, Lord Ramachandra was told that tomorrow you are going to be installed as the emperor. He was the first prince. And then in the morning, early morning, he is called, and they tell him that actually, according to some strange situation, the promise of his father to his mother, which was made many years ago, and some strange desire of his stepmother, Kaikeyi. He is supposed to go to the forest for 14 years in exile. So just you are supposed to be the emperor of the whole world, and then the next day you're supposed to be to go into the forest without anything. So it looks like a big reversal in the destiny. However, you can see that Lord Ramachandra was completely undisturbed. He was not disturbed. He stopped everybody who was disturbed, and he used this time in the forest to hear spiritual discourses, to associate with sages, and he didn't try to fight with the circumstances or with the promise of his father. He kept up the promise of his father, the good name of his father, and he just went along with whatever life was bringing, and he came back as even more glorious king, even more glorious emperor. So, as they say, if life, you know, I think it's an American expression. They like if you buy something bad, like buy a bad car. You buy something and it doesn't work. Then they call it a lemon. You got a lemon, because lemons are sour. So they have a saying that if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So make best use of the bad bargain. If life hands you lemons, make lemonade. So you can see that Lord Ramachandra teaches this, this also. Even though he can do, he didn't have to go from any point of view. And he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So definitely he can change things according to his wish, but he shows by his example how to make lemonade from lemons and return even more glorious. Also, he... So that's the second lesson from from Ram Lila that I read recently for modern day management. Another lesson was the service spirit that was set by Lord Ramachandra in his environment. The spirit around Lord Ramachandra was so natural, open, sincere, honest, happy. We can see that his very famous servant Hanuman, he is usually sitting at his feet. Yeah, you can often see, you know, Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman standing sometimes on one knee, offering obeisances to Lord Ramachandra. So he is accepting a subordinate position to Lord Ramachandra. He's very happy to serve Lord Ramachandra. However, when he came to Ravana, the demoniac king Ravana, he said, "I am a messenger. I am a messenger of Lord Ram. So as a messenger, I have a message for you. If you are accepting me, please give me a seat. Where do I sit?" And so Ravana laughed at him, and everybody laughed at him, and then they told him, "You monkey, you want to sit somewhere? Sit on your tail." So they didn't know what Hanuman is, and that Hanuman's tail had, it was like a storage of all the mystic powers. So Hanuman said, "On my tail, okay, on my tail, then on my tail." Then Ravana was sitting on a throne, and Hanuman started coiling his tail, and his tail started growing. So finally he sat on his tail, but his tail took a form of a huge column. So at the end, Hanuman was sitting far above Ravana. And then he said, "You fool." This is the message. So when Lord Ramachandra treats everybody with love, then everybody wants to serve him with love. Whereas if Ravana treats everybody with contempt, trying to look down at everybody, then it backfires. And people try to compete him and try to put him down. So that's the third management lesson. Create the service-loving atmosphere. This is what Lord Ramachandra also is teaching. Then the fourth one is that Lord Ramachandra is a real leader because he creates leaders. So a real leader is someone who creates leaders, just like a real Brahmana is someone who creates Brahmanas. You can see Srila Prabhupada. Like you can see in India very often, caste Brahmanas, they will try to hold people back. No, you cannot be a Brahmana. You know, only I can be a Brahmana. But you can see Prabhupada, he comes and he says, "You, please, everybody become a Brahmana. We need more Brahmanas. Please, grow spiritually and help the world. The world needs spiritual knowledge. We need millions and millions of teachers in this world. We need millions and millions of people who will bring spiritual knowledge to all the corners of the world." You can see Srila Prabhupada is someone who is creating Brahmanas. And this is what Lord Ramachandra was also doing. He created great, powerful leaders out of material which sometimes might be considered not the top grade, like monkeys. So he had, these are not like ordinary monkeys. These are some special type of creatures. It's probably something like these creatures that now we hear of as the Yeti. For some reason, they translate this as an abominable snowman. I don't know what's so abominable about the snowman. So, have you heard of this? Why do they call them abominable? You know, probably because they are very scary. And some people have seen them, but can never catch them. They see their footprints or something like this, or there is a hearsay. Somebody saw somebody who saw. Even I, in the BBT, we had a translator from Georgia, from Gruzia, yeah, Caucasian mountains, and she said that in her village, one girl got married to a Yeti. Not in a metaphorical sense. It's not that they call the guy that he is an abominable snowman, but that somehow or other there was a real Yeti, so she got married to him. At any rate, these are some kind of hairy, powerful, big type of very, with some raw animal power creatures. Intelligent too. I mean, even monkeys are intelligent to some extent. I live in Vrindavan in India, and I have seen so many stories, you know, I can tell you stories about monkeys just about monkeys for 5 hours. No problem. one of my friends, there was some monkey who wanted his banana. And he took a stone and he threw this banana at this monkey. Oh, or another friend of mine he's a master electrician. He is very expert in doing all things electrical. So he had a bucket with water in winter in Vrindavan, which he was heating. So he would keep the bucket outside, and he would put some, this heating coil rod for heating it. And he says that every time he just puts, there was some place where he would connect this rod to the power socket, and he says every time he puts this bucket, one old monkey came and drank from this bucket. And you know, it's when the monkey drinks from this water, it's not a clean water. You don't want to wash yourself with this water. So, you know, it happened one time, two times, three times, four times. So then he thought, just wait. Being an electrician, he took some long wire and he put some two wires into this bucket and connected this to, and he hid behind the door and he was looking. He was looking at this monkey. So this monkey, you know, oh, water, okay. Morning time, water of Bhakta so-and-so, okay, let's go drink from his bathing water. So he comes, and he, lowers his head, and boom, and he tries again, oh, and he looked exactly where he was hiding. Okay. Turned around and went away. Next day, he didn't come to drink this water. He got this point. He went on the roof, and among 100 dhotis, He found the dhoti of this one devotee and tore it in 30 pieces. How do they find? I don't know. I heard, so this is at least two stories like this that I'm telling you. One threw a stone, another did mild electric shock, gave a mild electric shock to this monkey. You must have heard, you know, so, there are many stories like this, so they're not like completely stupid. They are interesting. Like I told you that for many, basically there are several ways to deal with monkeys. I live on the roof. My room is on the roof, so roof is very attractive to the monkeys. So there are monkeys who come there. So sometimes I just have to come out and prove to the monkeys that I'm a bigger monkey than them. Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, they say, hmm, and I come and say, hmm. And then he says, hmm. And I show, I punch you. Okay, then sometimes they go to me, you know, they like, you know, very scaring way, you know, they just, or sometimes they... So then I show that if you do like this, I do like this. So then, okay, this, okay, all right, that's a good argument. It's not so funny if you... You're there. You also have to know the proper measure. If you go overboard, then when you are not there, they come and tear your dhoti into 30 little pieces. You just have to show, you know, that you're not afraid of them and that you can punch him in the nose if necessary. Then he thinks, all right, he's a bigger monkey, okay. But then one year I found a better way, because, you know, you chase them away, then they come back. You chase them away, then they come back. So I found a much better way. The monkeys came. So when they came, then I would come, I would take one banana, and I would find the chief. The chief, the alpha male. The chief is very big. They look like they spend 7 hours a day in a gym. Yeah, truly. They also walk like this. You know? And they usually just lie down, you know. And they have, you know, three other monkeys, you know, scratching them. And they just look. So I find this chief and I come to him and I bring one banana and I say, here, here's one banana for you. So he takes this banana. No other monkey tries to snatch this banana. You know, all the other monkeys understand hierarchy. They know, okay, this is for the chief, you know, we cannot, you know, that's all according to the rules. So he takes this banana, you know, he peacefully eats his banana, then he stands up, looks around and says, let's go. And then, and he takes them all out, away. It's sort of a racket, you know, this protection payment. Anyway. So these are not ordinary, of course, these are ordinary monkeys, right? Of course, not ordinary because they are in Vrindavan, but even they are intelligent. What to speak about these special monkeys? So you can see that Hanuman was made into a great warrior, into a great leader in his own art, in his own standing, in his own way. And even there was a time when both Ram and Lakshman were unconscious. But then Hanuman took upon himself, using his intelligence, using his skills, and then he restored them to consciousness and restored the balance on the battlefield. So this is another important point, that leaders make others into leaders. Then two more points. You can see Ravana was putting himself above Sri Lanka. Oh, the whole Sri Lanka was to serve him. Everybody told him, you will destroy everything. Lord Ramachandra came. He defeated Ravana on the first day completely. He smashed Ravana. He completely disarmed Ravana. He had no bow, arrows, chariot, nothing. But Lord Ram didn't kill him. He said, you have no arms, no weapons. So it will be not honest if I kill you now. So you go home, come tomorrow. So he showed, this is Ramachandra's approach. And he repeatedly told Ravana, if you just return Sita to me, you can keep your golden city. You can keep your golden kingdom. This was the kingdom of Kuvera. He is the deity who is in charge of wealth. He kicked out his own brother. He kicked him out. But Ravana didn't think. He didn't think about his kingdom. He didn't think that because of his lust, his desire to steal Mother Sita, his whole kingdom will suffer. Whereas you can see that Lord Ramachandra, in another controversial story, he never saw Ayodhya as something for his gratification, even though he actually has right. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything does belong to him. But you can see, when his good name was threatened, when they started slandering the name, his name, by casting doubts upon the character of Sita, then he didn't just, you know, suppress or kill those people who were speaking bad about Sita. He actually renounced his beloved, dear, most dear wife. So again, he was showing that he is more concerned about purity, dharma, and truthfulness, and high principles for the benefit of his kingdom. So this is number five, and number six is that again, Lord Rama was thinking about everybody's benefit and growth, right? A true leader, true caretaker, or true king, as Lord Ram is showing, is seeing all the rules as necessary for, as the instruments for the growth of others. So you can see Ravana, he was a Brahmana. He ruled the kingdom, but he was a Brahmana. He was son of Vishrava. He was so learned. He was so good in chanting Vedic verses that the demigods could not resist coming to his yagya. He was so beautiful. He was so good. But he was, you know, when once Agni came, the god, the fire god came, then Ravana decided to steal his wife. So all the friends told Agni, we told you, don't go there to Ravana. And in India, it's considered to be the greatest sin to kill a Brahmana. And it's true, you know, Brahmanas are usually non-violent. Brahmanas are the source of, it means priests and teachers of spiritual knowledge. They are usually, they are supposed to be practicing non-violence. So it's considered very sinful, just like also it is sinful to kill other exploitable people, like children or old people. or those who cannot protect themselves, or the cows also. They are very, it's called docile. What are you saying? Docile. Very, very soft, meek, submissive, helpful. So, but when Ravana acted in such a demoniac way, then Lord Ram killed him, Hare Krishna, for the happiness of the whole world. Actually, the very name Ravana means one who makes others cry. Appropriate name for a demon, Ravana. So, again, it shows that all the rules are meant for the growth, spiritual growth of everybody. So these are some of the lessons. The leader is someone who removes fear, gives fearlessness, and leader who doesn't put himself above, doesn't misuse things for himself. He is someone who creates spirit, atmosphere of love. He makes others into leaders. He uses reversals and difficulties like exile for going deeper and transforming and growing. And also he is concerned about growth of others. There are unlimited lessons from Lord Ram's Leela, and forever it will be a magnet for human minds, whether people understand that Rama is God and Absolute Truth or not. There are unlimited lessons in this Leela. And I will be very happy to keep discussing them for the next 4 hours. Or 8 hours. If you have enough questions or comments. Yes, very well.
What is the difference between soul, spirit, and conscience?
Soul, spirit, and consciousness.
Conscience.
Conscience. I always forget this. Okay, so vest and conscience, you say? Vest, okay, vest. I always forget this. Vest. Yeah, so let us throw consciousness also there. So these three, in our understanding, are the same. Consciousness, soul, and spirit. These are the same thing. Spirit is a general name. Consciousness is a symptom of spirit. And soul is an individual who is individual spark of spirit. However, you can see that many religions use the word soul in some strange meaning. They think that soul is what we call the mind. Because we say that Bhagavatam says that there is the gross body and there is a subtle body, composed of the mind, intelligence, ego. So this is the subtle body. This is
the body the ghosts are composed of.
They don't have the gross body, but they have the subtle body. So therefore you can see, I remember in the BBT we were thinking, why does Prabhupada say spiritual soul, spirit soul? It's like saying buttery butter. Spirit soul. Of course, soul is spirit. But then, I realized that some religions, they say spirit is one thing, soul is the other thing. They don't put it, they don't understand that in a spiritual way. So therefore, Prabhupada makes it very clear that when we say soul, we mean spirit soul. We mean this spark of spirit. And conscience is whisper of the super soul. So on one tree, there are two birds. One bird tries to enjoy fruits of the tree. And the other bird is sitting nearby and looking and waiting for the first bird to come to its senses. So one bird is the soul, and the other bird is the super soul, the Lord, who accompanies everybody. And so the super soul will whisper that, "Jack, don't go there! Jack, it's bad! You know it's bad!" But you say, "Shut up!" "No, look, it looks good. It will be tasty. I will enjoy it." "You will regret it later." "Later is later. Let me enjoy it now." So that's a whisper of the super soul who is accompanying us, we can say. And as we become free from the false ego, hubris, you know, false pride, then we can hear him better and better. And we can talk to him. Okay? Shri Kamala Madri, you have a question?
I have two questions. There are two answers. Usually, somebody does something in the name of Dharma, and later you realize it was better like this. So I don't understand what was better for Ramachandra to leave when his father was forced to, like, send him himself. Because ultimately it was due to one stupid woman, the servant of Kaikeyi. So Kaikeyi was in a stupid position. His father died from meditation, like everybody suffered.
Everybody suffered.
So I think
even she suffered. Her son suffered.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that part. The point is that, like, for me, a responsible leader is somebody who sort of...
You say, "This is wrong, you woman, shut up." Yeah.
Or okay, that's one question, and the second one is connected with this one, is that we usually hear that when Ram was told that he should go and exile, we hear that he happily went.
Yep.
A peaceful smile on his face. Okay, I understand, I can theoretically understand he wasn't attached to his kingdom, but he could see his father. I cannot understand why was he so happy. I mean, a normal person would cry understanding the father's feelings. So it looks a little bit inhumane and not really divine. So I would appreciate a comment on that.
Good points. This is why Ram Lila will never die. It's disturbing. It's disturbing. Many points disturbing. In my school, we were supposed, I remember like today, it was sixth grade or fifth grade. We had to keep a reader's diary and write our own realizations about books we read. And a friend gave me some child's Ramayana. And I read it, and I wrote, "I think this Ram was too obedient. Nothing good came out of it." Okay, maybe in some cases it's okay to be obedient. Yeah, okay, all right. But in this case, so much trouble came out of it. I remember I was... and we see Kaikeyi, he wanted to put her son Bharat as an emperor. He said, "No, I will commit suicide." And then for 14 years, he lied sleeping on the floor and ate barley, soaked in cow urine. That's everything he ate. So in other words, he lived much more austerely, and he never sat on the throne. He would put Ram's shoes on the throne, and only because Ram asked him. Otherwise he wanted to go, I mean, there was nobody was satisfied. So why did Ram do this? Wouldn't it be much happier for everybody. He could bend one rule here, another rule a little bit there, and it would be so nice. Everybody would enjoy and everything would be good. Yeah, she apologized. Bharata, her son, he was very angry at her. And when they found Ram in the forest on the next day, they asked him, please come back. And Ram said, no, I want to, I'm happy to fulfill my father's word. I'm happy to keep the honor of my father. I'm so happy that I can do something that will keep the honor of my father. It will keep the honor of my... I mean, this is the culture where honor is more valuable than death, because you can die only once. But dishonor kills you many times, or for many lifetimes. Can keep you, can push you down for lifetime after lifetime. So this is what he said. And Kaikeyi herself was... So Bharat was angry at Kaikeyi. He said, you're not my mother anymore. So what does Ram say? Who was sent into exile, he said, Bharat, how can you speak like this to your mother? Please forgive her. She was confused. Her envious maidservant was confused. And there is a background story. Turns out that all the demigods got together and said, we've got too many demons who are creating havoc on earth. Let's ask the Lord to come and do something. They go and ask. He says, okay, I'm coming. He's coming. And then they are going to install him on the throne. So he gets installed on the throne. Everybody lives happy. He's very powerful. How long will it take for him to destroy these demons? You know, and these demons don't do anything bad. So it will take forever. So the demigods think we should speed things up. So they somehow get into Mantara's hunchbacked, envious maidservant mind, and they say, "Oh, go speak to Kaikeyi and tell her, how is this? Her son is not put on the throne. What is that? You know, it's not good." So Mantara's mind is poisoned. She goes poisons. The mind of Kaikeyi. And then what is the result? Within 14 years, boom, 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 all the demons killed. The demigods happy, everybody's back, and Ram Rajya. Ayodhya happy, world happy, flowers coming from the sky. And you have to wait 14 years, but at least the demons are dead. Right?
So there was a higher purpose.
On one side. On another side, for a devotee like Dasharat and Ram, all this suffering that we see, that they experience, it looks like suffering. But they are not ordinary people. They are not, they are above the top yogis. They cannot experience material emotions. All the emotions they experience are not material, including suffering, including death, apparent. You can read in Nectar of Devotion, there are 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, which are emotional transformations. So in other words, it's the ocean of nectar. It's an ocean, it's all sweet. They are swimming in bliss. But now we hopefully will have feast. We have feast, right? Unless we talk till 10 o'clock. And somebody else eats the feast. if everything you have is just sugar syrup, would it be tasty? Or just sugar in different forms? Okay, if you're very hungry, maybe you can eat some sugar, but you know, not only sugar. Even if you take sweets, you want sometimes a little, sour, a little bitter with it, when late Govinda Prabhu makes his ice cream, he puts the carob chocolate, glazing on top, icing on top, so it's a little bitter, and sometimes something else. So this combination creates more taste. So that's why you have this bitter taste there, sour taste, hot taste, but it's not a material emotion. It's just a slightly varied flavor of the unlimited sweetness. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that such contradictions are secret pathways, shortcuts to the spiritual platform when you meditate on this contradiction. How is this? Why did Ram do this? So when you meditate on this, you can quickly, it's like a Zen koan. You know, these Buddhists, riddles. Uganke. Yeah? Like, you know, clap of one hand, or how to fold the whole city of Ljubljana and hide it in your pocket, or what is the sound of bell that can reach the limit of earth. You know, you sit and think about it. So better think about how Ram, why did Ram not break the promise of his father? So when you meditate on this, then you can reach the spiritual platform. According to Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, 8th canto. These things. Okay. even though this is the unlimited topic, I want to reassure you, remove your fears. We do have prasadam, and we do have at least a short kirtan before we take prasadam. So Lord Ramachandra ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, my humble obeisances.